Hello, 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 girl chat weekly. Good evening, everybody. It's 8:01 in the PM. And as promised, we are going to kick off our book club discussion tonight. So come on in to the live chat. I'm exclusively doing this on Girl Chat Weekly just to kind of keep it a little intimate. Where for the most part, it's just us girls, and I'm gonna go ahead and share over to my Shades of Chocolate page because that's just a women's page as well. But I want to have as much conversation as we can with women about the subject of comparison. The book is called Killing Comparison, so I definitely want to discuss the book. I have not read chapter one. And can I be honest? I did not read chapter one. But the book is called Killing Comparison, Reject the Lie You Aren't Good Enough, and Live Confident in Who God Made You to Be. And I don't know about y'all, but the title grabbed me. It really did, because I believe that I am not living the confident life in who God made me to be. Some days are better than others. I can admit that. Some days I can wake up, y'all, feeling good in my sanctified spirit. Everything fits right. The jeans fitting right. The blouse is fitting right. My hair trying to grow back. My edges is acting right. Or the wig lays down just right. And people are loving you and appreciating you. And the sky is so blue and the trees are just swaying in the breeze, and everything is all well with me. But then one email can come through, one conversation can happen, one thing can throw my day off, and next thing you know, I am in the vortex of anxiety and depression within the matter of minutes. So that's how I know I can do better, in terms of my self-awareness, my self-love, my self-care, my self-confidence. I'm gonna get my light on so I can cut my camera on, y'all. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm still here, y'all. I'm still here. So I got the camera off so I can get my stuff together. But I just wanted to hang out with y'all for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. Talking about why I chose this book, talking about why I even created Girl Chat Weekly Podcast. What was the end goal for me in doing this? What do I stand to gain? What do I want us to gain as a community of women? It's a bunch of female groups out there. I can't lie. I'm not doing anything necessarily different. Than anybody else. I'm trying, but the basics are the same. To encourage, to uplift, to provide a safe space, to talk about things that we may not feel comfortable talking about with everybody else. People don't understand. You could be in a whole marriage, in a good marriage, but you still need a good girlfriend to balance out certain things. Because I made a post about this. I married my best friend. Well, good luck with that, because I didn't. So I just want to create a forum, a place where we can be unapologetically us, enjoy who we are, have good intellectually stimulating conversations about whatever concerns women, you know, and just be free to learn and grow and develop. That's kind of all I had in mind. So I didn't took my earrings off and everything. So I was trying to get cute for y'all, but it's girl chat, right? So here we go. I got my little turban on. It's girl chat, honey. This is how it is tonight. All right, this is what it is. So we can be just us, right? We can be just us. So the book is called Killing Comparison. So I'm gonna throw this out to you. Just to jumpstart the conversation, when you hear the title Killing Comparison, what does that make you think about? Who have you compared yourself to that may have limited you in any way? Or have you compared your life to another period of time? Like, for example, I was just telling my sister this. Who would have thought or thunk that I would not be working in the job I was working, that I would not be in the home that I love, that I would not be in a fruitful relationship? Like, who would have thought? But life changed, people change, circumstances change. So sometimes your comparison is not always to somebody else. You can be comparing your life to what it used to be, you know? And that's not healthy either. I'm trying to get myself together, ladies. That's not healthy either. So I want to pray, because I want us to get to in a posture of release. I want us to feel comfortable as God speaks to us through this book and through each other, so that we can release and relinquish and let go of some really wrong ideals that we were either taught as kids or we subscribe to them as adults. So let me put some gloss on or something. I can't be up here looking dry. Ooh, yeah. But it's just us girls. It really is girl chat. I'm not even streaming this on my personal page because I wanted us to have some time just for us. Just for us. So let me click on to the link and see if I can get cousin in here. Cousin Kenyatta, I'm going to send this to your messenger again, and maybe it'll work for us. I don't know what's happening and why it doesn't want to do right. So bear with me. StreamYard. Let me see if I can email it to her. Gmail. Bear with me, everybody. I'm trying. Cousin wanted to come in tonight, and I want to get her in the studio. So let me get this up here. I thought I had your email in here. I'm texting you in your messenger, cousin. I thought I had the email. So I'm going to pray, because I feel like I want God to come in and really illuminate this book for us and show us as we discuss killing comparison, as we break some really tough habits and just try to do things a little bit differently in this season of our life. I don't know about you, but being that I'm older now, I really want to get comfortable with who God made me and not compare myself to anybody else and not compare myself to the old me and just be comfortable. And when I say comfortable, I don't mean complacent, but at least be in a posture of I love me, you know? So let's pray. And I just sent this link to my cousin's email, so hopefully it will let her in. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this sister circle. I thank you for this community, for those who are going to watch live and for those who are going to watch the replay. I'm so grateful for just having the strength to do this, because Lord knows I have not been feeling great, God. And I ask you for your healing power for all those who may be afflicted, for those who may have had troubled minds, troubled bodies, troubled circumstances, God, that are trying so hard to just overcome the world. But God, here we are, just us girls, just trying to unwind and enjoy each other and enjoy conversation so that we can be better individually and collectively, so that we can learn more about who you are and who you made us to walk in the fullness of who you are, God, and to love us in the fullness of who you made us to be. Every layer, multi-dimensional, multi-talented beings that you made us. We're not perfect, and many of us are tired of being strong. But in our weakness, that's when your strength is made perfect.
So maybe we should stop avoid weakness and avoiding brokenness, and let your strength be made perfect in that. And your grace is sufficient for us. So God, tonight I ask that you work on our behalf, that you fix the things that we have been troubled over, that you heal our bodies, that you calm the raging seas of our mind, that you make a way out of no way, that you protect us and provide for us as a good father does, and that you just show up, and that something is said and done to lift a bow down head and to help a sister just keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. While cousin is getting ready to get in here, again, the book is called Killing Comparison. It is by Nona Jones. The subtitle is Reject the Lie That You Aren't Good Enough and Live Confident in Who God Made You to Be. The back of the book says dealing with comparison is easy as long as you don't own a phone, use the internet, or ever leave the house. If you, like me, do any of those things, though, you're going to need Nona's book. That is what was said by John Acuff, New York Times best-selling author of Soundtracks, The Surprising Solution to Overthinking. So she's got some heavy hitters that have been praising her for this book. Dr. Darius Daniels, lead pastor of Change Church, says this work is timely, necessary, and destined to set people free. Sadie Robertson Huff, author, speaker, and founder of Live Original, says from the first page, Killing Comparison is a journey that takes you from feeling insecure over your differences to truly valued for the very same reasons. Wow. So let's dive. I have not read the first chapter. Hey, there she is.
Hello.
What's that? You made it.
It was a rough one today.
You made it. How are you? You look gorgeous.
I do. Well, thank you. So do you.
You really do. You really do.
Right. Thank you.
Did you have a good day?
No.
It was a rough day.
Yes, it was.
So where's your water at? You got some water?
Actually, I didn't even get a chance to get water. I was rushing.
You need to go get you some water while we wait. Okay. I got my water.
Okay. I'll be right back.
We need water tonight. We need water tonight. And for those who are watching, welcome to our first kickoff of Killing Comparison by Nona Jones. Invite some people, ladies, to the group. Invite them to hang out with us. We're only going to be on here for about 45 more minutes. I just want to have a chance to introduce you to the book, introduce you to why we're doing this, what we're going to be doing. This is going to be truly unscripted, unrehearsed, authentic conversation. And as you know me, critical conversations is my life. So I do this because I feel confession breeds healing. The more that we can get together as women and talk and drink our water and breathe deeply. Do you know my therapist told me as Americans, we don't even breathe right. Many of us are so tense all in our chest because we don't breathe deep enough. Oh my gosh. I thank God for therapy. Are you getting therapy? Y'all better get some therapy. Woo, I thank God for it. Okay, you got your water?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, deep breath. Everybody get their water. We're going to be hydrated in this season.
Yes, we are.
Water is going to be our strength. Dear God, help us to love water like you love the church. That's been my prayer. Go on and drink that water, cousin. Ain't she drinking good? My cousin drinking that good.
To be honest, that's all I drink. I don't drink anything else.
See, I've been drinking it lately, but not enough. I can tell when my skin gets dry and I just feel blah, I know that I'm probably dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Guess what? When you old like me, when you drink water, you gotta pee all day. Somebody wanna be going in the bathroom.
That's true. You do. You do.
But it's flushing this out though. It can't stay in there. It's got to, what goes in got to come out. That's
exactly
biology. science. And water is something that we have to take in every day to help us cleanse, to help us flush out stuff that shouldn't be sticking inside of us. And then we're going to be talking about diet. We're going to be talking about movement. Many of us have ailments, but even if we just take a few extra steps, like instead of parking real close at Kroger, maybe you just park a little further just once and just your time. Nobody said you had to run. You can take your time and just to get moved. Do some chair aerobics. My other cousin, I have a cousin Kenyatta and a cousin Kenyatta. My cousin Kenyatta teaches yoga. So she is going to be working with us on some basic moves so that we can start stretching and getting our bodies accustomed to movement. Many other things that are happening to our bodies. I ain't no doctor and I don't play one on TV or nothing, but I really believe that some stuff that's happening is we're not drinking enough water and we're not moving enough. So if many of us have jobs that are, you know, sedentary and you're not getting up on your break, you got to use your break to walk around. You got to get up on your lunch and walk around. I was working. I didn't take a break or lunch. I wolfed down whatever was at my desk, answering questions with food coming out of my mouth. I didn't take the time to take care of myself in the corporate environment. So for those of you who are in that environment, take out this 1 hour a week with us so that we can encourage each other and you can have a break from it all. Even when you get home and make sure the kids got their food and your husband is good or whatever, but then this is your hour to just kick it with your girls. And even if you haven't purchased the book yet, you got time. We're just starting. I haven't even read the whole chapter. But I want to just kick off the fact that when I saw the title, Killing Comparison, and the author says, let me read it again. She says, dealing with comparison is easy as long as you don't own a phone, use the internet, or leave your house. Because if you do any of those things, you are comparing yourself to other people. But a lot of the things that we see on the internet is not even real or true. A lot of it's not. Some of it might be, but I'm telling you from experience, there are people who literally want everybody else to think that their life is so perfect.
True.
But many of them post to make us feel perfect. I really don't care what people think. It is what it is. And I post my truth. I could be feeling good at 8 p.m. and by 8:15, I'm like, Lord, what's happening? Because it just can't come and go for me like that. I mean, I hope y'all don't be thinking I'm kind of crazy, but maybe I am, because I could be good in one moment and have one bad conversation and then I'm like, oh, but I'm trying to get better. So here's my first question for cousin and for anybody in the chat who wants to answer it. This book is dealing with insecurities. What are your insecurities? Or one of your insecurities? In the chat, start putting it in the chat. What are you insecure about? So what we thinking, cousin Kenyatta, do you have any insecurities?
You know, I don't know if you would call this an insecurity, but.
But?
You know how you have a picture of your life as you're growing up and you think it was supposed to turn out a certain way, like as far as your career, where you live, what you drive. I feel a little insecure about how life started lifing and those things that I thought were going to be are not what I wanted them or thought they would be. So sometimes, especially when I'm in the company of those who actually are doing what I thought I would be doing.
Got it.
I feel a little insecure. I do.
That's real talk. And thank you for being honest and transparent about that. And I think that's one of the reasons why I picked this book. about killing comparison is because when you're in a company of people who like, oh wow, that's what I should have been doing around 48. Mm. That's what I should have been around 50. You know, I should be able to say that I own this, you know, by this age. It can be very easy to say, God, why aren't I, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what's interesting too, though. I thought about this. There are some people that can be in your company, Cousin Kenyatta, and look at you and say the same thing. I thought I would have been married by now. I thought mm-hmm. I would have been a child by now. I mm-hmm. thought I would be a homeowner by now. I thought I would be on a job for at least 20 years by now. So aren't we all kind of comparing ourselves to each other at some level yep. when you think about it?
Yes.
Because I just told my girlfriend before I came on here, I told her, I said, sis, I would have never thought that I would be where I am right now, that I would not be working at that company, that I would not be in a really good relationship, that I would not be the owner of a house, that I would not have my businesses really, really rocking right now. If you had told me I would be here today, I wouldn't believe it. But let's go all the way back. And as a kid, we were taught to, what you want to be when you grow up? A doctor, a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
this or that. And then you get a little bit older and you start making these 5-year plans, 10-year plans. But whose plans are those? Ours. Unless you are praying over those plans and saying, Lord, is this the plan?
Mm-hmm.
Because really, it's all us.
Right.
You think about it. A business plan, a marriage plan, a 10-year plan, short-term, long-term goals, a vision board. Most of that is all from here. Unless you're really good and spiritual and you're saying, well, Lord, before I do this vision board, before I do this plan, speak to me about what you have for me. I was introduced to that concept by Erica Jackson. She is a sister of mine. And I was talking about vision boarding on one of my shows. And she put in the chat, LHG, be careful with that. I mean, I like vision boards, but be careful with that because we get stuck on our plan. Like, I put these 7 things on this board and I need all 7 of these to happen in this 12 months or I'm going to feel very defeated. She said, be careful with that. No. And I said, really? Because it's goals. We are goal-oriented people, aren't we? That's the big thing. Be a goal-getter. Uh-huh. You know, whatever you think you can do and speak and believe it and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, if we're not even in control, maybe I should spend more time in prayer saying, Lord, I do what I do know about you, God. According to Jeremiah 29:11, what I do know about the plan, it says you have a plan for me. Plans for me to prosper, to give me a hope and a future. Now, don't say plans for me to be married by 22, kids by 27, and only 130 pounds. He didn't get that granular.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say, my plan is to prosper you and not harm you, give you a hope and a future. We fill in the blanks and decide what does that prosperity look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's the picket fence, it's the husband, it's the Mercedes, it's the hourglass figure, it's the long hair, it's the booty that take you from 7 mile to 12 mile. I'm just saying a few of my favorite things that I want for myself. Okay, I put a post out today, I said, Lord, I think my front is supposed to be my back. So if I walk backwards, maybe y'all will see me the right way. I think this front is going to be back here. I think my stomach is really my booty. And my booty is my stomach. So I'm going to walk backwards. Y'all can understand what's going on with LHG. Okay. No, I mean, but she kind of messed me up. Like, you know what? I'm real big on vision boards. I'm real big on claiming stuff. But what I want to get back to, cousin, is having some real honest talk with God. Like, God can't do this without you. I don't want to make a total fool out of myself.
I say that all day, though. Like, yeah, I do.
Ooh, can we? I mean, I know you may not want to give me a whole itinerary of how you're going to bless me and how you're going to prosper me, but at least help me to go in the right direction. At least help me to know the people that I should be around.
Exactly.
At least give me a hint to where I'm not just investing time and energy in something that ain't even in your plan. And I'm just like tired, spinning my wheels. So that comes from prayer. It comes from studying the word. It comes from just being open to, I guess, change. I guess I wanted things to look a certain way because when you grow up, life is presented to you a certain way. But what you got to do is you got to get married. You got to have a couple children. You got to have a really good job. You work that job for about 50 years and then you retire and then you try not to die. I mean, it's just kind of mundane. But I think God is bigger than that, cousin.
Well, to be honest with you, those plans, my mama is different. Okay. So, like, she doesn't even per se, she used to say she didn't even believe in marriage. So that wasn't really something she pushed.
Oh,
even though she was married.
Okay.
She didn't push that. She didn't really push me working at a certain job or anything like that. It was me. I thought I was going to be this anchor person. I would wake up every day. I would get in the mirror, say my name and say the news station I was working for and do these fake reports of what I was going to report for the day and pretend I was out in the middle of Saudi Arabia and they were flying over me and I couldn't hear.
My God. That wasn't real. That stuff ain't real. Are you saying that stuff ain't real? Girl, you don't hurt my feelings.
Because that's what I thought I was going to be doing. And then secondarily, I thought I was going to be, okay, I was like, if that didn't work out, then I'm going to be an obstetrician and I'm going to be babies. And then if that didn't work out, I was going to be a civil rights attorney. And so all those things still circulate in my mind. And some days, you know, I'm just like, how did I end up here? And I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you end up right here? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I first saw the title killing comparison, I think you can assume we're talking about comparison to another person, but it could be comparison to previous dreams.
Yeah.
What happened to the that I thought I would be? That's probably just as damaging.
Yeah.
Compared to other life or former life or former dreams than to a different person. Cause you are penalizing yourself. Like, what did you do wrong? I wasn't supposed to be like here. But what if here was the plan all along?
Yeah. Now I do know better than this now.
Okay.
But years I used to say to my husband, I don't know how I became a failure. Like, I am such a failure. Like, and he would say, "Well, you stop saying it because you're not a failure."
Right. But
I kept comparing myself to who I thought I was going to be.
Ooh, girl.
What didn't make it any better is, and I don't know if she's going to see this, but it really doesn't matter. You know, there's this one person in particular that I grew up with, and she is actually doing something that I thought I would be doing.
Okay.
So when we talked to each other, she asked me what I was doing.
Okay.
And then I told her what I was doing. And her reaction was, I'm not going to say disrespectful, but in a way it was a little disrespectful because she said to me, "What is that? Is that one of those union jobs?
That is disrespectful, and I don't know her address.
Do you see my face, the way I'm looking? Like, she's like, I'm like, yeah, the union jobs, like the same union people that when you go in your house and your lights come on, the same ones that make the car that you drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those. But then she didn't want to talk to me anymore. She like all of a sudden had something to do and she was going to call me back. And that was like 3 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But just to circle back, I hadn't talked to her since we were like 14 or 15 years old, mm-hmm. right? And the last time in the 80s when I did talk to her, because we were really good friends, when we went off to high school, she went to one high school, I went to another high school. And when I asked her, I met up with her before and I asked her, why don't we talk to each other anymore? Mm. And she told me, because you're not like us.
Ooh.
Her and her other friends, because, you know, back in the day when you're like cliquish, the light-skinned girls with the light-skinned girls with the long hair and green eyes. And then,
wow,
we're over there. And she said, you're not like us. So I really don't want to be bothered. Ooh. So her, that was my last memory of her. Wow. And then for her, I did talk to her after all these years and she made that statement. It just, I don't know. It just did something to me. I don't know exactly what, but.
Well, for one, it would make me wonder, that's not a friend.
No.
That's not even, that's, I wouldn't even expect an enemy to, or stranger to respond like, what is that? You know, when you ask someone what they're doing, as long as they're doing something, I mean, does it have to be, it has to meet your, their expectations to be acceptable.
Exactly.
How bougie and arrogant can you be? Why can't you say, well, that's good that you're doing that. Do you enjoy that? Great. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. What is, tell me more about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that kind of attitude will have you comparing yourself like, I guess what I'm doing is down here and what she's doing is colossal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the fact that we have to get to a place that we see ourselves as successful.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we have landed, are successful. And that the plan that God sets before us doesn't always match what we, probably hardly ever to the T, matches what we might want for ourselves. But it also doesn't mean that you can't still do what it is that you used to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at you doing your real estate. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I've been licensed as a realtor since 2008. But
okay.
During the time where everything was a little bit crazy, my
yes, we had a whole recession.
Yeah. My kids were still in school and it just required too much of me at the time. And I just wasn't willing to sacrifice not being there for my kids when they needed me. So I
totally get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But now here you are.
Yeah.
Kids grown. Now you got time to launch out and do something that you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I want us to talk through this, because the more we let go of our insecurities and the more that we go back and resurrect, this is resurrection week, resurrect some of those dreams that we have allowed to lie dormant because we felt inadequate, didn't have enough money, don't have enough whatever. But what if you brought that back to the forefront and just little by little worked towards doing what you always want to do? I made a post. I'm going to write a book this year, even if that book got one page and two words. I'm going to write something. Because I know I got at least one or two books inside my head. But I got discouraged.
Yeah.
Writing used to be my thing, cousin. Poetry, that was my thing back in the day. Man, that was my thing. That was my outlet. It was my passion. It was my happy place. And then I guess life happened to where my job was so stressful, I no longer had the mental capacity to do anything I wanted to do. Right. Because I had to do what I had to do. I had nothing left.
Exactly.
So if nothing else, the financial part of not working, I feel it. But in terms of the mental freedom, not being at that job, I would have never been able to do a podcast and work at that job. Mm-mm. Or do my jury the way that I do it and work at that job. It would have been too much. So although I am not where I want to be financially, God sometimes pushes us into uncomfortable situations.
Yes.
To allow us to branch out. Like, you got some stuff in you that can take you further than what that job was ever trying to offer you. Getting a 4 cent raise every year, pushing so hard to get the median line of a performance review, but you there sun up to sundown, weekends, holidays, bar mitzvahs and weddings. I mean, goodness gracious. And you still get compared to your counterparts.
Exactly.
As if you're the low person on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. Now, I am grateful for having a 30 plus year run in corporate America, and I don't think I'm done per se, but I can say it did beat me down in some areas. It did break my spirit. But what my therapist told me is I allowed it to. There was a part of it that I allowed. I allowed people's words, I allowed people's actions to have so much power that it made me shrivel. It did. The insecurity, the comparison. Why aren't I further in the company? At 22 years, why aren't I at VP level or whatever, you know, compared to this person who's been here less time than they've, you know, that comparison thing, ooh, it could be a killer. Mm-hmm. And I like how she said the fact that, and I have to just say, I love social media, but if you look at it, and you look at all these different posts and start saying, that should be me, that should be me, it will have you second guessing where you are right now, every day. Mm-hmm. But I am trying to get to a place where I love me more, where I appreciate the good qualities that I have more, that I'm not so uncomfortable self-promoting. Because you have to do that, especially as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You have to put yourself out there when we're networking and when we're at different events. People don't know who you are until you tell them who you are. So I'm trying to build that stamina so I can feel more comfortable in rooms talking about what I do and who I am and my experience and have confidence with it. That's the key. Confidence sells.
Yes, it does.
Confidence is attractive. It sells, and it gets people to notice it. When you have the right part level of confidence, you can come in a room and don't even say anything and just command it.
Now, you know, my mom is like that.
Really?
That is something I can really, I'm not going to say I can take from her, but because we're different, mm-hmm. but that's what she has. And that's what I saw growing up. Like, mm-hmm. she was an entrepreneur at 21 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she is, to this day, is still like really outgoing and positive. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So
my mom was that too. And she had a really good corporate job. She didn't get the recognition that she deserved at that mm-hmm. job. But I can still tell that the people, even though they never gave her the promotions, they still knew who had the goods. Mm-hmm. They still knew, okay, we know where to go when we want something done. And we know who can understand how to read this and how to make this work. They knew. Mm-hmm. And that still goes on today. They yes, don't sir. Give you the accolades you deserve, but they're mm-hmm. going to be, can you help us?
Yes.
Can you fix this?
Yes.
But after I fix it and bust my butt, you still don't give me what I deserve.
Exactly.
But I have to decide, even if they don't pat me on the back, you did that, LHG. They wouldn't have made that. They wouldn't even have made it. You saved that account. You saved that project. So we got to turn that within and say, if nobody else encourages us, if no one puts our name on the marquee, we know we've done our due diligence and we know God sees. And that's going to have to be enough until you get so tired of that you do something else.
Exactly.
Until you reach that rock bottom, I can't do this no more. What can I do to get myself in my own business? Because I can't come here no more to be treated like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit my rock bottom in 2021. I hit it hard, flat, face down hard, to where I just was like, this is not right. Because I start hearing stuff like, everybody else can do it. Everybody else can handle it. Everybody else is done with it. Everybody else can. But when I went to everybody else, they said, no, we didn't. She lied.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, a good leader never compares her team to each other. Number one.
Exactly. Leadership
101, page one, day one, hour one of training.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to lie as if everybody is on target but me? But I go, hey, you on target? Girl, no. You gonna lie to make me feel bad? And I called her butt out on that. You got me over here sweating bullets, can't have sleep because I want to please you, and you lying. It ain't even true. We all struggling dealing with you. But it pushed me. It pushed me to say, the little black girl with the Jerry girl, not little, the big old black girl with the Jerry girl, that used to want to be Carmen Harlem and used to want to be the next Doris Biscoe. She has her own podcast now. Matter of fact, she got three of them. And one day, her podcast will be in rotation on some of the biggest channels that there are. And one day, she's going to have an in-person conference with all types of wonderful guests on her stage. And she can look back and say, I remember when.
Exactly.
That's how we got to see it, cousin.
Yes.
We got to see this thing blowing up. We got to see you selling all of these houses, multi-million dollar homes, getting these huge commission checks, being the who's who in the real estate game all over the region.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see it. And then we got to believe it, and then we got to work towards it.
Exactly.
So now that we have talked about insecurities, let's take a look and see what Miss Nona is saying. This is what the inside of her book says. Are you trapped in a cycle of comparison? It can be enticing to constantly keep tabs on friends and family, even acquaintances, scrolling through pictures of vacations, new babies, and celebrations. But this habit, common for so many today, can be toxic, leading to comparison, jealousy, and even guilt and anger. But you can break free from comparison that leads to a lack of self-worth. It starts with understanding that the root of your urge to compare. It ends with finding confidence in God's love for your true self. This is about to be a spiritual journey, ladies.
It already is for me.
It really is supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
It really already, I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a spiritual journey. Anytime that you are dealing with self-reflection, making changes, that's a spiritual journey because you can't do it alone.
You cannot.
We don't have that kind of power. We don't.
And some of that, which, because it's not always easy, sometimes you have to step away from certain people.
Ooh-wee.
even people that you never saw yourself having to step away from. And that's where I find myself, because, and it's not that I'm trying to act a certain way. It's just, I'm trying to be better with myself, for one. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I don't really aspire to certain things. Like there's, mm-hmm. and I never did. It's okay. just that for a long time, I would just still listen, mm-hmm. you know, try not to be rude. Like, for example, I have someone that I knew all my life. And the comparison thing, she has that so bad. Like, mm-hmm. she literally will call me 10 or 15 times a day and ask me to pull up certain people and look what they're doing.
No.
And how does she get that? And why does she have that? And no. she should have that because I knew when she didn't have anything. And look at this. And I heard her husband was cheating on her. And so now they're acting like they're so happy because wow. they're on vacation. Did you see the new car she got? I wonder what she got. And I keep now, before I would listen, not that I was like involving myself in the conversation, because mm-hmm. I really have never been like that.
Okay.
But it's just like, now I had to tell her, I don't want to hear it. Like,
I want to hear it.
And so I try to say it as nice as I can. Like, you know, it started off with, yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm busy. Like, I don't want to hear it, thinking you would get right. the message. But now I had to just firmly tell her, look, will you stop calling me and telling me
yes.
that?
Yes.
I don't want to hear it.
No. And you don't need to have that in your ear.
Right.
And what would they rather see? Yeah, I saw a post that she lost everything and mm-hmm. got a divorce and the kids don't like her and the dog ran out.
Yeah. And what's so bad about it is some of the people I'm related to, like you're in my family.
Right.
You're talking about, I've never been like that. Like I am family oriented. Mm-hmm. Like I want all of us to win. And yes. so it's like, I don't want to know or... So it made me feel a certain way about myself. I'm like, so if you're saying that about them, then what are you telling other people about me?
Exactly. Yeah. Those are the people who are always looking to bring you the tea.
Yep.
It makes me wonder, what are you saying about me? I just had a conversation a few days ago and a person brought me all kind of stuff about this young lady. And I'm thinking to myself, if you in my ear about her, whose ear are you in about me and my shortcomings? You're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel this strongly about them, stop dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that much disdain towards a person, the craziest thing in the world that I've seen people do is can't stand a person and be all on their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to see what they're doing. I just want to see. Why?
Yeah.
You like them.
Yeah.
You don't even want them. So when I see people flourishing, I'm that crazy person. Like, congratulations. I don't even know them. Congrats mm-hmm. on your degree. Congrats on your home. Congrats on your husband. Congrats mm-hmm. on the birth of your twins. Congrats on becoming debt free. Congrats on getting into whatever kind of school, because that is going to be now my inspiration. Mm-hmm. If all these things have been happening for this person, why wouldn't God do something similar for me if I just ask him and believe that he right. can? Let that be your inspiration. And as a woman, especially a woman of faith, I need to watch my words about another woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be found with ill will spewing out of my mouth, especially about someone you don't even know the real deal of mm-hmm. what they dealt with to even get uh-huh. to where they are. You seeing the glitz, you seeing mm-hmm. some of the glamour, you seeing the result of a lot of fasting and praying, you seeing the result of miracles, signs, and wonders. But what about, you don't know when they had nothing, when they were getting evicted, exactly. cars repossessed, divorced, no food. Church wouldn't even help them. You don't see that part.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you did, you probably would turn your little nose up at them. Like, what's that? So I guess I want us to get to a place where we are so secure in God that I ain't got to be insecure because you got this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that was a blessing and God can bless me too. And yep, you work there and I work here.
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed me with this job. And God has allowed me to be pretty good at what I do at this job. And I've gotten some promotions on this job. And I've done some stuff that I wanted to do in this capacity. And now when God moves me, he'll move me. But until then, I'm going to keep showing up saying, thank you, Jesus, for this job right here.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't I be your friend? And you might be at this level, but I'm at this level. I've had that happen to me, Cousin Kenyatta. I've had people that so-called friends that were more financially astute, maybe business owners, the kind that may have a summer vehicle and a winter vehicle. They only got one car. The car is the car.
It's coming.
It's going to spring, summer, fall. That's the car. But the comment was made, well, in the wintertime, I only drive this car. And I'm like, well, okay. And she felt that, okay, so-and-so may not want to ride with me because she just got a new car, but I'm still driving my old so-and-so. She don't care about that, and I don't care. We don't see good at night. Whatever car you have, come get her.
Right.
What? Who cares? And I said, are you saying to me that in my 2018 Chevy Equinox, I can't show up at your beautiful West Bloomfield home and take you to lunch? It don't match your 2024 Jag. So you got a problem riding with me? Then you're not a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when y'all go out to eat, see, I only eat stuff like Joe Muir's, Well, since you get all this money, you pay for us then. Because I can go to Applebee's, Chili's. What? 2 for $10, 2 for $22? So there are people in this earth that are so shallow. But what I found out about that person was she got financial woes too.
Mm-hmm.
People play the game to appear to be so big and bad financially. Well, I do this and I got that. And you know what? More power to you. Matter of fact, I look up to you because you do have that. I thought right, you were inspiration. That's how I saw you. But now you showing me your true colors.
Because
you measuring us and comparing us. And God is too big for that. This is where I am in my life. But I may not always be here. And you may not always be there.
Exactly. Now I had to
Lord give it and the Lord could take it away.
Exactly. I had a complete opposite thing happen. Now, you're saying that about that situation. Now, we had a person come to work at our job, and she was a contractor. And for some reason, you know, because I am big on, I can feel your spirit. I liked her. Like, I met her, and I liked her. And she was having a lot of financial problems. But this isn't why I invited her to lunch. I invited her to lunch just because I wanted to get to know her. And yes. I invited her to lunch. So we go out to lunch. And I told her, you know, she was like, I don't know if I have any money. I said, I invited you to lunch.
Right.
So I'm paying. So you don't have to worry about the money. So we get out. The first thing she started complaining about is the seating. Like, she didn't want to sit in the high seats, you know, with the high tables.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't either because I'm not comfortable in those, but that's all they had.
What, all in those?
Right, I'm not comfortable either. So that's all they had. But then somebody got up because she, as soon as we sat there, she was just like, the whole conversation turned, oh my God, we have to sit here. This is ridiculous. I'm not used to sitting up this high. My back is going to start hurting. My legs are going to fall asleep. Like, I'm feeling the same way, but I was still trying to like stir the conversation somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And she just went on and on. Then someone got up. I asked the waitress, could we switch seats? And then she says, no, that's okay. I can sit here.
Oh my, after all of that?
After she rants it and raved. So then,
girl,
she ordered what she wanted off the menu. The food comes. She complained it wasn't seasoned properly. She don't cook her chicken like this. her chicken, you know, when she do it, she does this and that. She would never come back here and this and that. I said, why don't you order something else since you don't like it?
Wow.
So the waitress comes to the table in the middle of her complaining and asks, how was everything? Oh, great. Great. And so wow. when the waitress walks away, I'm like, that is, why didn't you just tell her you didn't like what, you know, we're eating? You could order something. No, that's okay. I'll just eat this even though I don't like it. So when it came time to pay, she got mad at me. Even though I ordered her, I told her, I'm taking you out to lunch. She goes, what do you think, I'm a charity case?
No.
Because you're the one with the big time job. I guess because you got the big time job that I can't pay for my own food.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like,
crazy.
I never said that. So then when the bill came and she saw how much it was, she says, maybe I should have let you pay for it.
Ooh.
See? And I was like, look at this. Myself, I'm like, never again will this happen. Ugly. Like, this will not happen again. This is the first and last time that I will ask her to go anywhere like that with me again.
Mm-mm-mm. Ugly.
Yes.
Ugly. And that's why sometimes it's not easy to have friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a large circle. People probably would think that sounds crazy. Yeah. But I know a lot of people, but my inner circle is very small.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can be cordial, I can have acquaintances, I can be around people, but I only will trust you to a certain point.
Yep, that's how I am.
Now, as I get to know you and you make me feel comfortable and you, mm-hmm. and you make yourself trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I may get a little closer, a little teach closer, but for the most part, when it comes to women, when that cattiness hits, I have to keep you at arm's length because I just don't like how you pop off.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do feel that your spirit is good and that you are the kind of friend that I can be myself with and not walk on eggshells or feel like I have to have a certain persona or dress a certain way or drive a certain way, then yeah, okay, I can see us being friends, but I have to go through the orientation and observation period. I am so glad that our paths crossed, cousin, because it's been a long time since I felt comfortable with someone that I could just, you know, be around and just talk to about anything and you understand me and get me.
Mm-hmm.
So is very important for me. But I also know many women stay at home and don't say much because we all know how the other woman is going to respond and what kind of mood they going to be in and who are you today? You know, unfortunately, I talk to women a lot through our prayer group that they don't really go anywhere or connect to anybody. And I'm trying to get them to at least come on the page and interact a little bit more. And when
guess who that is?
Uh-oh.
But I
want us to do more. I want us to, as I get my healing back and my resources back, I want us to do like little intimate outings with girls. Like even if it's just a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
In a nice smoothie or something. It don't have to be something super extravagant. The thing is that it'd be quality time.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk on a nice day with a cup of lemonade or taking in a movie or going to a nice concert at Shane Park.
Mm-hmm.
Cool breeze blowing, you know, just I like simple stuff.
Yeah, me too.
It don't have to be all complicated and it could just be a simple outing. Have a good time creating better memories.
Yes.
That way your mind can remember doing something fun and not always the bad memories keep creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
We have to create these moments. And that's why I wanted to do the book club. And it's not going to be your conventional book club. We may talk about the book. We may just talk about how your day was. I just want us to have some time just talking and getting to know each other as women in a safe environment. We can just diffuse, just kind of unwind, you know, grab your beverage, kick it for an hour,
and then get ready for bed and have a good next, no, rest of your week. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
I want to eventually do our sessions, not right now, but when things get better for me, I may say, well, this week's book discussion is going to be at a Starbucks or at a Coney Island or at wherever or at the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the weather is better, we can just do different things. So I want to be able to be creative with what we do. It could be in a different neighborhood. It can be on the east side 1 week, the west side 1 week. It could be in Southfield 1 week. It could be in Taylor 1 week, just so we can move around and have different people. Not everybody drives. Not everybody, you know, drives far. So I'm thinking if I go to different areas, more people may be able to get involved. It could be a different night than Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Because some people may be at work right now. Or sleeping because they work a different shift. So I want to do some real creative things with our group just so we can start to enjoy each other's company, release some things, release some tension, release some stress. Those of us who have had stressful jobs, it could be an outlet. We can have prayer and just have girl chat, just discussion, kick it, and feel better inside. This last couple of weeks, months has been heavy.
I feel it.
It's just a heavy haze.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gabby, when I get up in the morning, why am I waking up with a migraine? What is that? Well, for one, I don't wear my CPAP machine. But you ain't heard that from me. So starting tonight, I'm going to have to wear the machine because I have extreme sleep apnea. So for one, I may not be getting enough oxygen, you know, to my head. So I'm waking up with this. So that's one thing I can do differently. Secondly, I tend to go to bed with my phone on whatever show I was watching. It's playing. So if you're watching Game of Thrones and in your dream, people is chopping each other's heads off. That's kind of manifesting itself in your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Your dream fighting dragons. Oh, Lord, get them, Jesus. So then you wake up like, I done just fought Armageddon. So it's little things that we can do to sleep better, rest mm-hmm. better. If we don't eat anything heavy after a certain, mess around and eat a pork chop at 10 o'clock at night. You will have nightmares. Swine gives me nightmares after a certain time of the night. A hot dog, a sausage patty, that thing had me fighting gremlins. It's the craziest dreams. It's something about that swine. So I have to stop eating at a certain time, have my water. I want to talk about if anybody has certain dietary supplements that you take, vitamins or something that gives you energy. Let's talk about that. Because sometimes I feel so zapped and drained and
mm-hmm.
like I'm in twilight zone. I don't like that feeling. Now, I do take prescription medications, and some of the side effects of those can be dizziness, headache, confusion. I mean, by the time you take this stuff, the side effects, this be so long, you done created 17 other ailments. And my prayer is, Lord, I don't want to be on these drugs forever. I want to find some natural things, some certain kind of teas, supplements, smoothies, fruit and vegetable combination, whatever, to create something more herbal than these hardcore. I mean, you think it's helping you, but these drugs are hurting us.
Terrible.
Hurting us.
How they passed whatever standards they're supposed to pass. Especially when you look at those commercials and then you hear all that.
They ain't passed. I don't think none of them passed nothing. They be lying.
It's all experimental. I'm like, it's experimental.
Everything. They got a new drug coming out every day. And the side effects is 200 words long. And they say it real fast.
Right. Right.
Well, dang. That's too much.
And to me, it should be against the law. Like, if I made a drug and it had all those side effects, it wouldn't even pass. You would have me on Fox 2 News talking all kinds of crap. But because it's the FDA, then...
And they stand to make so much money coming out with these new... And I was thinking, well, how do they come up with the names of these drugs? Are they spelling stuff backwards? How do you get all these names? I mean, where do you come up with this kind of stuff? But that's been my prayer. I don't want to be on medication forever. I want to, and I watch people on Facebook that talk about our diet and how the diet is working against us and how the diet can be causing inflammation. How the diet can be causing the blood pressure fluctuation. So the food that we eat could literally be working against the medication we take or against our better health. So I want to get people, doctors, dietitians, nutritionists that can talk to us about what's out here that ain't going to cost $2 million that we can take, or food combinations, vegetable, fruit, what if it's juicing. I did the juicing for a minute and it did make me feel good, but it costs. Because I have a person who does that, and she would have the glass jars, and I would go get my weekly or bi-weekly, you know, stash of juices. It was delicious, and I felt the best I ever felt, but it cost a lot of money.
Now, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I juice a lot, but not as much as I used to. And because what happened was, my doctor, when I first started doing this, my doctor was like, your blood sugar is going up. And I'm like, how's my blood sugar going up and I'm barely eating? Like, I was like juicing like my breakfast, then I wouldn't, and lunch sometimes, not every day. And then I would just eat a regular dinner, and that's all I would have. And I'm like, okay, I juiced 2 times today, and then I just ate one meal. Like, how's my blood sugar going up? And then I said, you know what? I'm going to stop juicing. So I did. And then it got better.
Really?
Yes.
So the juice was negatively affecting your blood sugar?
Yes, it was. And then what I was told is, when you juice, all the sugars and everything, carbs and everything, is concentrated more.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's all, that's all I think about.
But that's why we need to have these conversations, because you can think one thing. Everybody has different answers to what it's going to take. Some stuff you just got to research and try it for yourself, and it may not work for everyone depending on the response. If it's triggering other problems, then no, we can't do that.
Do it. I just don't do it like that. Like, and then I,
not as much.
I put certain things in there. So I had to adjust how I do it.
So I need to know what herbs, fruit, vegetables are going to promote joint health. With these knees being bone on bone, and they just canceled my procedure. They were going to give me some kind of injections, but Medicaid doesn't cover it. So they waited until 4 days before it was supposed to be going on to cancel it, which really pissed me off. Coming from having Blue Cross to Medicaid, it's different. But I was paying $700 a month for that insurance when I was working for my family. So now it's like, I really got to find some different kind of remedies that's going to give me the cartilage back into my joints where I can do more walking. If you want someone to lose weight and they can't walk without hurting, how do you do that? I can't go to no gym, not in the condition, child. I'll be up under the treadmill. All you see is my shoes and smoke. Like, what happened? So I want us to take this time. Yes, we're going to be talking about our book, and we'll read chapter one for next time. But we're also going to just be kicking in about stuff that's going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is our time to just have, you know, it's like having girl brunch, but virtually. Because one lady may know something that might help another lady.
Mm-hmm.
Me, look into this, look into that. This doctor helped me do this. This helps me do this. We can exchange information and be kind of a hub for information to help one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I want us to be, Cousin Kenyatta. Well, our hour is up. I have enjoyed you, cousin.
I enjoyed you too.
I needed this today. Thank you for coming on. And I hope that tomorrow is a better day, that it's not as stressful, that it's peaceful, and that all of your interactions are purposeful and mutually beneficial.
Thank
you. That is my prayer. I want everyone to invite someone. I'm going to do it for next Tuesday, but we're going to play around with the dates and times, depending on who's in the room. This is our book. It is called Killing Comparison. It is by Nona Jones. I got mine, I think her website, but they're also on Amazon. I sometimes contact the authors directly because they tend to get more of the profit when you get it from them personally versus the third parties. So she's actually, I believe, from here. I'm not 100% sure, but I did reach out to her. I was able to go on her site and get the book from her directly. But I'm hoping that this is going to help us to not compare ourselves to anyone else or to what we thought our life should be. We focus on the fact that God has a plan, a good plan, a solid plan for our lives. And it may not look anything like what we wanted it to, but it's going to all work out in the end for our good. That's got to be the end game. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'll say good night, cousin. I love you.
Good night. I love you back.
Thank you for spending this time with me. Bye, everybody. Good night.
Good night.